Support for The Common comes from Davis Malm. Their tax attorneys take the time to understand your unique goals and find the most cost-effective ways to accomplish them, distilling complex tax laws down to clear choices so you can make the best decisions. DavisMalm.com. DavisMalm.com.
Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it. Because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Emma Platoff, welcome back to The Common.
Thanks for having me.
You are a politics reporter for the Boston Globe. And we are here to talk about your favorite subject.
Everyone's favorite subject.
We're talking district maps because the city of Boston has a new district map after, I guess, a pretty tumultuous process, I guess. Is that fair to say, Emma?
Tumultuous seems fair, ugly, contentious, drawn out, any of those adjectives, pick your favorite.
Yeah. So you've been covering this pretty closely for a little while, right?
I've been covering it for a couple of years, actually. Yeah. And it's funny because the city council passed a map last fall. It was a pretty ugly and drawn out process. And at least then we thought, okay, well, we're done. We have a map. And it turns out, as a federal judge informed the council earlier this month, that map was not workable. So then we got to go back to the drawing board and talk about maps some more.
Right. And now we finally have a new map. After all of that, a new map has emerged. Before we jump into that and get all into the nitty-gritty details, can you just explain for us, how does redistricting work and why should we care?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that question, because I think especially with this council, with the fighting and the litigation and the attacks, it kind of feel like we're just arguing about precincts and it's not clear what this is about. Mm-hmm. Redistricting matters because it's about power and it's about civic participation. So every 10 years in this country, we have a census. We count how many people do we have and where do they all live. And then as a result of that, we look at the city council districts in the city of Boston and make sure that there's a roughly equal number of people in each of them. That's a constitutional principle, you know, one person, one vote. And that's important to make sure that people are getting fair representation. Mm-hmm. But even beyond that, there are some really important considerations in this. So if we just think about the history of this country, obviously, it's a long and ugly history. There's a lot of voter suppression, particularly efforts to disenfranchise people of color. And so with a process like redistricting, what you're really trying to do is say, how can we draw these lines in a way that allows every community in the city an equal and a fair shot to elect people who are really going to represent them and to fight for their interests? Mm-hmm. So if you think about a neighborhood, where do you live in Boston?
I live in Alston.
Okay. Austin was an easy example for this year's map. But for the purposes of my hypothetical, Daryl, I'm going to move you to South Boston. I hope that's okay.
Okay.
I think you'll be happy there. So if you think about a neighborhood like South Boston, right? Like if that is a huge portion of a city council district, that neighborhood has a lot of power to represent someone either who's from and of the community, who's going to speak for them and their needs and their interests, or isn't from that neighborhood specifically, but they feel really understands them. Then think about if you fracture a neighborhood, let's continue using South Boston, into two districts or even into three districts, right? Then you make up a much smaller portion of that district. It's going to be a lot harder for them to get someone either from their neighborhood or who really speaks for their neighborhood elected to the city council. Mm-hmm. So the idea is, and you'll hear a lot of debate in the redistricting process about like which communities get split up, which communities is it most important to keep together? And as you can imagine, this is really hard in a city like Boston that's so old, right? It's not like we have a really easy grid of streets to work from. And it's not like everyone totally agrees on, okay, you know, West Roxbury stops here and Roslindale starts here. So you can imagine just how tricky it is logistically to make sure that these maps are fair.
You mentioned that Boston City Council had been able to pass a map in the fall, but there was a lawsuit and it ended up getting thrown out. Why?
Yeah. So I guess maybe just to start by talking about like, why is this so hard? So we talked a little bit about the geography. You know, Boston is a really hard place to do this. We have these really big voting precincts that are the building blocks for what these districts have to look like. This is a longer conversation we can have another day, but Boston doesn't redraw its precincts enough. And so it means that they're hard to work with as building blocks. There's also a lot of really difficult legal considerations because redistricting is governed by the Federal Voting Rights Act, which is something, you know, that Congress passed to protect the rights of voters of color. It's really important to consider race in the redistricting process, but you're also not allowed to consider race too much, you know, to make it the predominant reason you're making a decision without the legal language as a significantly, you know, narrowly tailored government interest. And so that's sort of where the council, according to a federal judge, ran into trouble last fall. The judge ruled in a preliminary injunction in the beginning of May that the council had likely used race sort of too much in its redistricting process. It can be a factor. It actually has to be a factor, but that they had considered it too much in where they were drawing the lines. And that's why they sort of got sent back to the drawing board.
Okay, so what were the big sticking points among council members when they tried to figure this out?
There are a number of neighborhoods in the city that were kind of under the microscope during this process. So if you think about kind of job one is to equalize the population in these districts, we had a lot of population growth in the Seaport over the last decade. So there's a South Boston-based district, District 2. It extends through Chinatown and includes some of the South End. And the question was, who can be taken out of that district to level out the population? It was really important to some folks in Chinatown and to some neighboring precincts in the South End with affordable housing developments that those communities stay together. It was really important to Ed Flynn, who represents that district, to keep a lot of the housing developments in South Boston. So, you know, the East Boston district comes a little bit into downtown. The Dorchester district grows up a little bit into the South End to accommodate for some of those shifts. In the most recent round of redistricting, a lot of the focus was on the boundaries between districts 3 and 4 in Dorchester and the boundaries between districts 4 and 5 in Mattapan. And those districts are really important in particular because a lot of people of color in the city of Boston live in those districts. And part of the charge of the Voting Rights Act is to ensure that communities of color have the power to elect representatives of their choosing, that they're not sort of outvoted by a decisive white voting bloc. And so there was a lot of disagreement about, you know, if we take this Mattapan precinct from here and put it there, do we still leave enough numbers in this district for voters of color, for Black voters in particular, depending on where you're looking, to elect the person who they believe will best represent them in the council?
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Hadestown is Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning best musical. It's an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, says Forbes. A Broadway musical like no other. The New York Times raves, Hadestown is as good as it gets. Get your tickets now to Hadestown.
At the Box Center Wang Theater, April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Did you kill Marlene Johnson?
I think you're one of the first people to have actually asked.
From WBUR and ZSP Media, this is Beyond All Repair, a new podcast about an unsolved murder that will leave you questioning everything.
Somebody should be in jail for murdering my sister.
A woman who's never been believed.
As long as they think I have done this, then they're not looking for who actually did this.
And that's what makes it a cold case.
No, it's a botched case.
And a search for the truth, once and for all.
Wow, it just gets more interesting.
Beyond All Repair. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Be careful. You're digging in a place that's been very peaceful for a while.
Do it anyway. Dig.
And we're back. And now, you know, you have all this back and forth about this map, and it's all happening during an election year. We have municipal elections coming up in the fall, and there are city council seats up for grabs. Am I right?
Absolutely. The city councilors who are drawing these maps have to run in these districts in the fall. So there are 13 city councilors in Boston. 9 of them represent council districts. And those are the exact people who are drawing this map. So you can kind of imagine, right?
Yeah, that feels like a conflict of interest.
It does feel like there's potential for a conflict of interest. And, you know, this is a broader conversation. Folks across the country advocate for doing this in different ways. But at the very barest, lowest level, you can imagine how if I represent a council district and I'm either saying, hey, I want these people in my district, I want this precinct out of my district, it's very hard to know whether I'm really fighting for what I think is best for the city or if I'm fighting for what I think is best for my own reelection. Mm-hmm. And we actually saw councilors pretty directly level those accusations at one another, you know.
Well, there were councilors who were involved in the court case.
Yeah. So interestingly, the map that passed in the fall, it passed 9-4 along kind of what's become a pretty recognizable fault line on the city councils. 4 of the more conservative councilors, all 4 happened to be white, voted against the map. And later we saw several of those same councilors actually contribute from their political accounts to the lawsuit. This is a very divided council. I've had to use like a thesaurus for division and tension so many times over the last few weeks. But it was really striking to me to see that you had councilors actually financially contributing to a lawsuit not only against the city, which is their employer, but against the council itself. The council was a named defendant in this suit. So they're funding a lawsuit against themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. And those councilors were Frank Baker and Ed Flynn. Am I correct?
Yes. And Michael Flaherty, I believe.
Is that normal? That feels a little dysfunctional in a sense, like especially with all the back and forth and how things kind of get personal during the negotiations about these maps.
It's definitely dysfunctional. It's harder for me to say whether it's normal. You know, redistricting is a blood sport. It's a really big fight almost everywhere it happens, anywhere across the country. We saw there was that huge fallout in Los Angeles last year over the redistricting process with sort of leaked tapes about racist comments. And that's why a lot of people, including some folks in Boston, have said, hey, this is really not a good way to do it. Councillor Ruth C. Louis-Jen, who is an at-large councillor, so she doesn't represent a district. These lines don't directly impact her in the same way. She was leading the process in sort of this latest round. And she said several times on the council floor, like, this is why this should be handled by an independent redistricting commission. This is not a good way for us to draw these maps, because how can people trust, you know, what's really motivating us?
Mm-hmm. Have you heard anything from critics of this new map? I know it's been a short turnaround, but have you heard anything?
So the council passed the map on Wednesday, 10-2, and the two councilors who voted against it, Kendra Lara and Julia Mejia, both cited, you know, not only complaints with the map that we ended up with, but also with the process that got us there. They were arguing that, you know, certain communities were heard more than others. There were specific parts of the map that they are taking aim at. There are still some questions before we can be 100% sure that it'll go into effect for this fall's elections. There is kind of this ongoing court case. We know that the judge is watching very carefully. There are some civil rights groups that are moving to intervene in the court case to kind of say, hey, we're keeping an eye on this from the other side. So there's certainly a lot of shoes still to drop. But the council passing this map this week was a really important step toward keeping the city elections on schedule for this fall, which had been at risk.
Yeah, what is the likelihood that this map somehow gets rejected? And what happens if that happens?
It's really tricky. There's a lot of stakeholders. There's a lot of people on all different sides who might take issue with certain parts of it or might take issue with certain parts of the process that got us here. The best answer I have to that is looking back at 1983, which is the last time that a federal court intervened in Boston's redistricting process. In that year, they actually did have to delay the elections, I think only by a few weeks. But the city this year is really trying hard to avoid that. So passing the map this week was a really important step towards keeping elections on track. But in a process like this, there's really no guessing what comes next, and there's no guarantees.
Emma, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thanks for having me. I think my friends and family are sick of hearing about it. So lucky to have you, Daryl, and your listeners.
Oh, man, we totally appreciate it. That's Boston Globe politics reporter Emma Platoff. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you have any thoughts on redistricting, hit us up on Instagram at WBURTheCommon. You can also send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. And now it is that time for me to let you know that The Common is produced by Caitlin Harrop and Franny Monahan. It's mixed by Emily Jankowski, Matt Reed, and Paul Vitkus. And it's edited by Ben Brock Johnson. And our theme music is Me by Hisu. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you soon.